get serious about building content sites and building a profitable business online? Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. We bring you the latest field-tested tips, tricks, and strategies for building a profitable online asset. We interview industry experts, share customer success stories, and reveal our own experiences working on hundreds of sites to inspire and motivate you to make something happen. Let's do this.
Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. Today we have Chris Palmer. Now, Chris Palmer, if you're not familiar, you can check out his YouTube channel, Chris Palmer SEO. He's often live streaming about different topics to do with local SEO, link building, affiliate marketing, everything essentially. But in this particular podcast, we cover mini nets, or essentially PBNs done well. And it's more about fortifying your own money sites, being able to take over the SERPs and have your own essentially network of websites that are powering each other. And we cover the process of essentially creating your own mini network of websites, from picking the domain, from the registrar, whether that needs to be in your name or a different name. Essentially, do you need to hide these footprints from Google? Hosting, do you need a new host or can you just have a different IP? How to link from your mini nets to your money site, and then how to monetize these money sites so they can be run for free and they're not going to be an extra expense. But we also cover a lot of different things within this as well, such as anchor text and different little tricks you can use to essentially power up your links or your internal links and even some of your external links if you control them with varying anchor text. We cover some of the essentially link building myths, such as site-wide footer links, some myths about relevancy, whether relevancy is that important when you're dealing with very high DA links. And we cover some ideas on 301 redirecting expired domains. So enjoy.
This episode is brought to you by Niche Website Builders, an agency dedicated to helping people just like you build profitable content sites. Niche Website Builders are the hands-off content site marketing agency you always wished existed. It's run by content site marketers for content site marketers, and they help both investors and individuals alike build profitable online properties. They provide a fully outsourced approach to content creation, link building, and done-for-you website builds, the same approach they use on their own six-figure portfolios. For example, their content packages come with a proprietary keyword research process, are written by in-house native English speakers, formatted using templates proven to convert, and uploaded to WordPress with affiliate links added so that all you need to do is hit the publish button. Check them out at nichewebsite.builders/show. That's nichewebsite.builders/show and fill out the form to get coupon codes for 10% more content or a 10% discount on links with your first order sent right to your inbox.
All right, welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. Chris, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
No problem. I'm a big fan of your YouTube channel and your various live streams and bits and pieces with on Craig's channel as well. So just for anyone that's not too familiar with you, do you want to give us just a brief background of yourself and what you currently do?
Brief background. My name's Chris Palmer, 36 years old. I live in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania. I run a small agency. I primarily focus on agency work, local work, maps work, and also some affiliate, leaning more towards affiliate as time is progressing and selling, you know, more white label services. I run a YouTube channel called Chris Palmer SEO. I have some other various channels as well, but that's pretty much everything in a gist. I could go deeper, but that pretty much sums it up.
Nah, perfect. If you haven't checked out his channel either, make sure you go check his channel out after this podcast. It's really good. He's got you're almost live streaming almost every night, aren't you? Close to it.
Yeah, lately I've been looking at it as almost like a SEO after dark, you know, because it's like after the work's done, I still have a little bit left, and I'm like, I need to put out a piece of marketing, you know. That's how
enough.
I look at it.
And some of these live streams can get long as well, so he goes really in depth. But today I wanted to cover, this is almost like a Q&A for myself, really. So hopefully listeners will also get something out of this as well. And the first thing I wanted to cover was the idea of a mini net, or essentially, as I mentioned before the podcast, PBNs done well. But we can also talk about PBNs done not well as well. So I guess the first thing for the listeners is maybe describe what a mini net is for us, and you know, what purpose does it really serve?
Yeah, so a mini net, in my opinion, right? So what is it? It's a group of sites working together to essentially not only help themselves, like their own small network, but also maybe a mother site or a mothership. So aside from that, the main objective is these are just standalone websites that are there to generate dollars, bring in traffic, and ultimately push authority to maybe, again, like a mother website. So done right. Done right, in my opinion, is look at each of the sites that are working together, right? So if we were doing them right, I want to start with something that's expired, right? Or maybe something that's off the auction block, something that already has a backlink profile, something powerful, something aged. Doesn't have to be, you know, have a backlink profile, but definitely aged. And I want to start with, you know, quality hosting. I want to make sure it's lightning fast. I use Bootstrap for this. So Bootstrap themes are easy to put up on a VPS. I want to make sure that they have dedicated IPs, right? So, and then I want to make sure they're country specific IPs, at least if I'm setting them up right. And then the objective is, you know, I do both. You know, you can get the cheap content, but really I want to bring traffic to these particular pages so they're self-sustaining. So I want them to at least do AdSense, at least something, right? Some type of dollars need to come in. The goal here though is to push to one property. They never link to each other, but they do link to a particular property like a main money site. So we're starting with auction and or expired domains, something with a good relative backlink profile. And we actually want to get some traffic on these. That's the main objective. So they're not just dead in the water. We want to get traffic, quality content, quality links on a VPS. Yeah, they're websites, man. Yeah.
So let's start from the very first step, and let's start from picking the domain. So what are you looking for in these expired or aged domains? Is there, I'm assuming it has to be relevant to the niche you're in because you're going to be putting content or potentially monetizing that. But is there any, are there any metrics that you would see as deal breakers or anything with an aged domain that you see as a deal breaker to not add to a mini network?
So there's a couple things that I'm looking for. One of the first things, in my opinion, is referring domains. So how many links are actually coming into that site? So referring domains is one of them. The next piece that I'm looking for is age. Is it aged, right? Does it actually hold some age? Has the domain been around for a long time? The next piece I'm looking at is how many times has it changed hands? You know, almost like a used car. Like if it was the first seller, it was treated really good. But if it's gone through two or three iterations of itself, that's generally a deal breaker right there. If it's
passed, is that a problem if those two or three iterations were in the same niche?
If they were if the homepage looked the same, the URL structures were the same, I wouldn't care that much. If it was just a matter of design, I don't care. But if we're talking about, you know, structural content, massive changes multiple times, that's, I'm probably going to pass, right? Because I don't know what those guys were doing. It might have looked good. Who knows? Also, I'm looking at anchor text. I don't want it to be too far towards one thing. Like if it's like, you know, click here or get now or something generic, that's good. If it's branded based on the actual name of the website, that could be okay. But I'm really looking for a generic backlink profile with a lot of links coming in, a lot of age, high referring domain counts, 500 or more. And yeah, I mean, if it's on auction, I'm hoping that it's getting traffic. And I think there's one more piece too. The biggest deal breaker is once I have it and I have the domain, I launch it on a new VPS or just on a partition dedicated. When I launch that homepage, if that page doesn't index immediately, then I probably want to get rid of that domain. Yeah. Mm. You want to almost test it first.
Nice. Okay. I want to touch on hosting in a sec, but I want to jump, I guess, to the next logical step, which is your domain registrar. Now, with your mini net, are you having to separate, I guess, domains under essentially different aliases just so they're not all under your name and your essentially address details?
So, you know, I went through this at first, but what I'm finding is I haven't ran into any issues, right? So I have a lot that are under my name, and I think it's normal for a person to have it, well, kind of normal for a person to have multiple sites. So yes, I do have some in my girlfriend's name, and I might have some in my brother's name, and I separate them, but I don't think that that's an issue. Where I think that the separation comes in is the hosting, the IPs. You know, you don't, you know, maybe switch up the theme, switch up the plugins if you're going WordPress. You know, I think that's where the variation comes in.
Yeah. Okay, let's touch on the hosting then. So as an example, I've got my sites hosted on Cloudways on, say, a Vulture high-frequency server. If I hosted a mini-net site, say I just created like a DigitalOcean droplet, there will be a unique IP, but it would still be under my Cloudways account. Would that be an issue, or would you have to go like basically sign up to a completely new hosting company under a different name, et cetera, et cetera?
No, I think you're perfectly fine there. It's a new IP. I think you're golden there. I think you're all right. I mean, I wouldn't go load in 500 of them.
Yeah.
But I think, hey, if you have four or five sites in there and they're not linking to each other, but they're all like essentially hosted in the same place, but they have unique IPs, I don't see anything wrong with that at all.
Nice.
I wouldn't be overly obsessed with that. As long as they're on a fresh IP, you could get, I mean, again, I wouldn't go 500 or 100, but if you have, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, that seems okay.
Perfect. And say once you have a mini net, maybe two or three sites, each have their own IP. Would you ever link between the mini net sites? And with the money site, how often would you link from, say, the mini net site to your main money site? Is there, say, a threshold that you wouldn't pass in terms of the number of links?
I mean, ideally, I want to go homepage to whatever page I'm trying to win, right? So I want to go one-to-one, right? From the homepage of the PBN site or the money mini net site, going over to whatever page I'm trying to rank, it'll just be one. However, usually though, to maximize the power out of, say, if I bought it just for the purpose of linking, generally to maximize it, I can link from multiple pages. Because when you buy an expired domain or an auction domain, usually there's one to three pages that have the majority of all the links and all the power and all the equity. So if I want to maximize the link juice out of it, I'll link from that site, from different pages of that site going to different pages. You see, I'm not going to link from the home page to the home. You get what I mean? So that's the way to maximize it. So, and as far as a limit, you know, outbound links, like if I'm selling them, I don't want to go above 10. Homepage though, the homepage is reserved for me, you know, going to my property. If I'm selling off links, they're getting inner pages, you know, and if it goes on the homepage, it's going to roll off, which is, I think, customary in that space.
So if you're, say you're treating your mini net sites like essentially like secondary affiliate sites, these are like extra sites that you're creating, and you're linking to some of your pages within that. Would you also then look to essentially almost like pad out the links by linking to maybe other authorities within that, or would you just kind of save that link equity just to pass through to your own site?
So yeah, I think that it's good to within any article. I mean, aside from the homepage. So say we have an inner page where we're linking to another inner page on our website. You know, if it makes sense within the article or within the post to link to, like, say, an authority source, like a wiki or something, I mean, I think that that's just natural linking. So it just happens naturally within the content. I'm not, like, hoarding PageRank. Yeah. I don't think that that's, you know, or, like, setting them to nofollow. I think that's how the internet works. So I think it's a good thing to have outbound links. I wouldn't be overly concerned with that. And even if you set it to nofollow, Google's job is to crawl links. You know, they're a crawler. That's what they do. Just because you as a webmaster gave a directive, they're not going to, they're Google. You know, they do whatever the heck they want, you know? So, and you can see it within the logs, especially when you have multiple sites and you're checking server logs. You're like, wait, how did they get over here? You know, you're like, oh, they follow the no follows. You know, just like, oh, if I say it's no index, right? If my page is not in the search results, and it's sitting off the search results and I link to another domain and it's the only thing that I did, I still get power. How could that be? It's not in the search results. Because they're crawling it, they're seeing it. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not doing something, for sure.
Nice.
It's an interesting piece, yeah.
The final thing I wanted to touch on, this thing, I haven't been able to find an answer to this anywhere online.
Okay.
And that is to do with monetization. Now, obviously with monetization, depending on how you're monetizing, for example, if you mentioned Google AdSense before, that would be linked to your Google account, linked to your PayPal, whatever it is. So then how would you monetize, say, three different mini nets if they're in different names and things? Because I'm assuming display advertising becomes difficult just because it's mostly in your name, unless you maybe had an alias. Maybe Amazon, because you could use a different affiliate whatever code or whatever. So maybe that might be a little easier to monetize. But is there a way that you could essentially monetize these sites without them linking back to your own name?
Yeah, so generally what we do, and I'll just use one name because I think a lot of people know. So there's generally when you're trying to do that and you're trying to, or even acquire multiple accounts, or maybe you get banned, then you use what's called like a privacy card, right? So like a virtual credit card. So I would hope that if the overall goal of this is like a PBN and we're trying to power up a main money site and we still want to monetize because we want it to run free and just help us, then you're probably going to have some type of monetization that's going to be private, you know, like an email deal kind of thing. Like maybe you're selling a training program or maybe you're selling a tool of some sort. You know, there's a million products, coupons, there's tons of coupon sites. So yeah, but virtual credit cards privacy is probably the way to go, especially if you need different names or different numbers is usually the case.
Okay. So you're basically looking to monetize essentially through private affiliate programs then, rather than going the typical ad affiliate route.
Absolutely. But on some of them though, I like AdSense though, because I think a lot of sites, you know, it's normal on some of them, not all of them, because it slows you down and you don't get paid much, but you know, yeah, I don't, there's nothing wrong with AdSense.
Is that an AdSense that's in your name for those sites?
On the sites that I have, they are in my name. Yeah. Because again, these are, you know, a website's a website and all websites are good until deemed bad. Right. So I'm not hiding anything. This is just another website out of the trillion that are out there. You know, just because we would know what we're doing with it, to anybody else and to Google, it's just another website. You know, it's not like your website looks any different than any of the other millions that are out there, right?
True.
It's the same thing. Yeah, it's literally the same thing. It's just that we know, hey, in behind the scenes, it's really to help me power this.
That makes sense. That actually leads nicely into, I guess we can say some link building or backlinking myths, especially as someone, I'd still class myself obviously as a beginner in the space. It's only been close to a couple of years, but there's obviously things that I'll hear or read often. And one of them is about linking or connecting properties through, say, a footer. So I came across a few sites in a similar niche to mine that do this. So it'll be like More From Us, and then they'll have their brand name linked in the footer, whatever it is. So for example, one site was about rugby coaching, and then they had More From Us, and they had basketball, soccer, whatever else, and it was like a magazine style. So both my sites are in a fitness niche. One's general fitness, one's in a specific sport. So I did that. I linked them together. So far, so good. Now, is this something that is inherently bad, or is this something that is just one of those myths that people say don't site-wide link through the footer because you're going to get penalized?
I mean, I utilize it, and then you always have to just look at Wayfair, look at Amazon. Amazon links to their multiple properties. It's not against Google's guidelines to link to your own assets. So, I mean, that seems like a myth to me, and a site-wide footer link, if I'm linking out from there, that's a strong link, right? If I have a site-wide footer link pointing to one of my properties, that's what you want, you know? That's a strong, strong link. But as far as like maybe looking against, hey, is it against the guidelines? Should I be doing this? Will I get a penalty? Just take a look at some of the top performers, Amazon, Best Buy, Walmart, they link to all their sister sites, you know? So I don't see anything wrong with it. I've never gotten a penalty. And as far as link building is concerned, a site-wide footer link is a powerful thing. Yes.
Yeah.
I like it. It's a myth.
I found it boosted my DR, not significantly, but a bit, but also my rankings instantly started jumping, and I was like, okay, this has to be something decent. Has to be. Yeah. You know?
Absolutely. And I muddy it with all my other internal links, because I love a site-wide, all my most important pages, I link in the header, footer, and then in the sidebar. And I'll just generally, if I'm linking to something or, you know, because it just looks like a bunch of links anyway. So it's just a nice, clever way to, it's just in the C there, you know? I don't see anything wrong with it.
Actually, on that topic, I think it was in one of your live streams, you talked about the header, say your homepage, you have your header, it's maybe in content, and then footer. Say you have an important best whatever page. I think you mentioned if you use the same anchor text on all three, it only crawls the first one properly, or something like that. I probably got that way wrong. Do you need to vary the anchor text then, say if you have something in your header, footer, and in the content, if it's the same page?
It is. You have that exactly correct. That's right. If it's the same exact link pointing to the same page and it's the same exact anchor text, Google's really counting the first one. So if you're putting up, like, say at the top it's services, locations, at the bottom you do service, location. You know, I'm just using that as an example. I mean, you'd want to be more descriptive, but you get what I'm saying. So, yeah. I forget exactly where I read about that. But, yeah, that's a known fact that they're going to give you credit for that first one. So whatever that you want to give that variation within the anchor text on your own site, for sure.
So then the variations you're looking at, you're mainly looking at essentially the related terms. So if it's best, you know, whatever it is, it might be, whatever, basically jumbled up.
Yeah, if you're going to Houston Plumber, you know, at the second one is Houston Plumbers, right? Or Texas Plumber, right? So just still the same thing. It could be a co-occurring phrase, an LSI term. It could be just a variation of the exact, but switch it up. That way we want to maximize what we have, and we control our internal links the most. So where we have the most control, we want to go bananas because there's no penalty. You know, I can't pass one to myself, you know? So
do you think then within the internal links, there's a ratio of exact match versus related terms? Do you need to essentially manipulate that, or can you just exact match off every single page to that one page?
Yeah, again, for internal links linking to other pages, you can, but, you know, I think, again, like what we just spoke about, I think that there should be some variation just to maximize, but really I'm doing a variation of the exact phrase. I might throw an S on there. I might switch it around, you know, because I'm not Google. I can't say for sure, but I read that somewhere, man, you know? It just stuck with me, you know, but that's hard for me to like quantify down and come to an exact equation and say, oh, hey, I tested this specific thing and I can tell. I can't say that. But I believe I read that somewhere that's important. So it stuck with me all this time.
You can claim it for yourself now.
Yeah, it's mine. I think I heard, spoke with Ted Kubitis. He runs a tool called Cora.
Yeah, I listened to that.
And to me, I think he's super brilliant. So I believe, too, we spoke about that, and he brought that up as well. So not only did I read it, I probably validated it with him, and he just – and I'm like, all right, man, I'm that's two to me. I'm good. Yeah, man. As far as – oh, that's another piece, too. Anchor text on the page, though. I've noticed massive differences. Like you'll create your award-winning pillar content, right? You'll go and make your optimizations, optimize your heading tags, titles, H1s, right? All the stuff that you need. And you'll let it sit and you'll have whatever rank. But then you go back in there and you just sprinkle in some anchors, right? Pointing to various pages, pointing to yourself, and you just get a nice boost. It's really something so simple, so easy. Just by creating anchor text on the page, I get lifts.
Yeah, okay. Always. I wonder then if if it's worth changing. So you see a lot of sites and they'll write a paragraph, and instead of linking within the paragraph, they'll just write related, and then they'll put their blog title and hyperlink it underneath. I wonder then if it's worth essentially not doing that and then just varying different anchor text within different articles and just linking it contextually within the paragraph versus just doing, say, a related in the blog title.
Well, I like the three spots and then also sprinkled within the body. So how I generally will set it up for clients is in the header, I'm going to go to everywhere navigational, not including like privacy and, you know, the copyright stuff. Yeah. In the footer, I'll include those types of links plus my sitemap, HTML sitemap, but it's going to all the pages. Then I'll do like a secondary footer, or I could do like a glossary type, like going to the most important pages. And then I'll sprinkle in like whatever the page is. Like if I'm trying to rank for SEO Denver, I'll sprinkle in with contextually SEO and the word Denver, SEO and Denver. And then I'll figure out what the entities are, how many I need, and I'll make those anchor text. And that's usually enough to give me a lift.
Gotcha.
Anchor text is powerful, man. You'll see. I don't know how far along you are in your journey, but that's a nice little tweak, though. You'll like that.
Oh, perfect.
Anchor text.
I'll be asking you more questions on that, I'm sure, off air as well. But I guess some more, I wouldn't say myths, but things that are said in terms of link relevancy. Now, I know on your live streams, you give away a lot of places to get free high DR links, essentially. And even on your website, if anyone's interested, if you check out Chris's website, you can actually download the list for free. Now, these are mainly essentially profile links, aren't they? I guess from high DA sites. But yeah, if you have a site essentially outside of maybe tech, these might be considered essentially not relevant. So obviously we're told over and over, you know, relevant links are it's all about relevancy. You know, it needs to be on a site, a page, or whatever it is within your niche talking about that topic that's going to link to you. So where do these links fit in? And is that relevancy thing then not as important when you're talking about really high powered links?
Yeah. So relevancy is key when you're trying to make a sale, right? Because nobody wants to pay for something that's non-relevant or something they could go get for free. Now, as far as the link is concerned, is there value there? In most cases, yes. Same with blog comments, same with profiles. And most people are missing a step with these links because, to me, these are hubs. These are buffers. You know, they're thinking that, okay, I'm going to go build this profile link. It might show up in the index, it might not, right? Usually we're hoping that it does, but they're missing the next step. Now they have a do follow from a high authoritative source that they could essentially blast with whatever they want and pass power without any risk. So like what I'm essentially giving people is buffer pages. Hey, here's foundational buffer pages that you can do the cheaper stuff, you know? Because that's really, in my case, so to answer the question, do I think that high relevance matters? No. I think a link is a link is a link. Like, I've seen hundreds of sites. I think a link is a link is a link, no matter what. Now, as far as if I'm selling it, I got to make sure it's relevant, the traffic's relevant, you know, to get a higher number for it. And then as far as, like, these types of profiles, blog comments, web 2.0s, I'm looking at these as foundation on the early stages of a site. Most sites will have these types of profiles, at least a few coming in, but I think they're really good for, you know, passing in cheap link power for sure.
Nice.
Yeah, because it's, you know, time and money, man.
That idea of powering up essentially your guest posts or profile links is a relatively new concept to me. I guess I've been listening to a few bits and pieces about it. How are you going about powering up essentially maybe guest posts you buy up or these buffer pages? Is it just through creating your own web 2.0s and things like that, or are you just buying like a cheap PBM backlink service and just thrashing that page with anything and everything?
Yeah, I own quite a few sites. I offer a cheap backlinking service, right? So I have access to a lot of those kind of sites that I've picked up over time. Also niche edit providers that are relatively cheap, but then you can start looking at your automated link building tools. So I have massive lists, you know, hundreds of thousands for Scrapebox, millions for GSA. So I can point a million links to pretty much anything I want in a matter of, like, when I wake up in the morning, it's done. The job's done, you know? So, yeah. Did I answer the question there?
Yes, yeah. If right. If I was someone, say I didn't have access to automated tools or didn't know how to use them, whatever, how would someone go about creating these manually for, say, to power up a buffer page or a guest post they got done?
So I've done it in the past. I had a manual list of, I think, 900, maybe 1050 is the total net one, right? And I sat and built all those at one point. It takes a long time. Do I think it's worth it? It might be. If you have more time than money, then it's worth it. But no, I've done it. It hurts. It's painful. As far as building them, you pick them up along the lines, especially when you're like doing analysis of, say, like any type of competitor, and you're trying to pick out, hey, what's the high authoritative links that I could just go get, right, for free? I could just go to the site, sign up, build a link, or maybe I could put a comment or put something on an image. You know, these are the ones that I've just accrued over time. So that's how you do it. You find them in backlink profiles, and you make your list. I just do it on a notepad, and then just go to them one by one. Can you do it? Yes. You know, does it work? Sure. But it's going to take you a long time. I did 100 of them on a live stream. It took me 7 hours. Yeah, bro. Extreme. And I had 100, you know, if we're using DA, if anybody likes that, DR 80 plus.
Wow.
I built 100 of them, you know, so.
So I've seen people, they do Tumblr blogs as well, right? Right? Inspired Tumblr blogs for this stuff.
Yeah, they're fun. They're just easy to acquire, you know. So you don't want more than one of those pointing in. So if you're using, say, Scrapebox, and like I did it in the past. When I did it initially for myself, I went out and found, I think it was like a PA82 page. You're looking for the most potent you possibly can. And then what I'll do is usually I'll group up the rest and offer it. Usually I give them away or sell them to somebody for like a buck or something. You know, just something.
Zero hustler, right?
Yeah, I'm a business guy, yeah.
when you're pointing these essentially tumblers or web 2.0s or whatever to this buffer page, is there some relevancy that you have to bake into it through anchor text or anything, or are you just linking anything, like any anchor text at all through to this page?
Yeah, so if we're talking about web 2.0s or where we have control the most, like even in blog comments, you know, let's just say it's a web 2 because I can give more definition. So the URL, essentially, I want to have control over the URL. I want to have control over the title, the H1, and then I want to have control over the anchor text that's pointing over. I think that this is where a lot of people, where I see the most benefit is stacking up anchor text, especially on something that I control. Like if I go buy a link, I can place something, right? But when I'm creating it myself, I can put whatever I want in there. So if essentially, if I want to maximize power, what I'll do is if my brand name's Chris Palmer Marketing and I'm an SEO, but I'm an SEO consultant that sells links, that's your anchor text. You know, backlinks, SEO, SEO services, Chris Palmer Marketing Consultant. Get it in there because you'll get credit for everything.
Mm. So does it need to make sense then? So could it just be all those words in a row within a paragraph, even though it sounds like gibberish?
Not a paragraph, but a sentence. Yeah, extending out your anchor text. Not all of them, but if we're trying to maximize power, it's very effective.
Mm. Okay.
Yep.
And I guess for the listeners as well,
absolutely.
What are some sites that are essentially Web 2.0s that you could go do this?
WordPress, Google Site, Weebly, Tumblr. There's like a whole list. I think that's like Fat Cow or something 20. There's lists all over the place that you can go find them. There's tons of them. Tons. Yeah.
That might be something I have to go try and do.
Yeah, it's time consuming, but it's definitely, especially that one. So even if you have access to, say, like a potent link where you can put in whatever anchor text you want, just extend that anchor text a little bit. You'll see a nice little pump from it.
Hmm.
It's nice.
Okay, awesome.
Maximize the link. Absolutely.
To continue on this, I guess, on this link building stuff, and we'll cover some, maybe some more myths if they pop up and different things. If you have anything that pops up in your mind too, feel free to share. But I wanted to cover something relevant to me that I found today. So I found an age-joke spy domain that's in a niche that I want, but it's in another language. Is that going to matter if I say I'm building essentially a silo page on a relevant website and I want to redirect that whole domain to that silo page? Is that language difference a problem, or does it matter at all?
Well, all right. So if I'm building a link, the anchor text I want to be in my language that I'm trying to rank for. If I'm buying a domain, you know, it could have previously been in Italian, but if I want to rank in the United States, I have to get that on it's not optimal to do it this way, but will it still pass power? Yes. Can it still work? Definitely. Does it matter? Not really, but it's not optimal. So I think that answers.
Okay.
You know, but the anchor text, we want to make sure that that's like, if I'm pointing to a US page, I want US anchor text. If I'm pointing to, you know, a Chinese or Mandarin page, I guess would be right.
Yeah.
Mandarin or Chinese. It needs to be in Chinese.
Okay.
Yeah. But if I'm buying something and I want to rank in the US, I need to get it on a US IP. I was running into this and we narrowed it down to IP and we're like, this is the only piece that's left is the IP, like where it's being hosted. That makes a difference.
Okay.
Makes a big difference. Yep. Because he was in Australia.
Yeah.
He was hosting in Los Angeles. Mm. And we're like, dude, what are we doing? He switched it over to Australian hosting, like, and instantly first page number 5.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Just that switch. I mean, he was doing other stuff, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But we were going down the line and we're like, man, IP. So, yeah, IP matters.
regarding 301s with domains then, how do you go about taking an Azure Aspire domain and redirecting it to, say, your own money site? Is that something you do or have done, or something like a strategy that you use regarding link building?
Yeah, so what we'll generally do is when we go and buy, say, we'll just say expired domain, we need to figure out where the majority of the links are being built into, right? Usually like 2 to 3 pages. So we're going to go out and build those 3 pages first on like a dollar host or something that we control to see if they hurry up and index fast, which they should. You build the page exactly how it was previously, at least the title and the URL is the same, right? And those pages usually index right away. They're not going to rank. I'm just saying, hey, they showed up in the search results like ASAP. That's a good domain to build on. And then as far as the, what was the question again? I wanted to build up on it.
About redirecting 301s to your own site.
That's right. So there's 3 pages generally that will have the majority of links. So usually once we know that it's tested and it's good to go, we're either going to build it out and then link over to the whatever page we want to. But if we're dead set on it has to be a 301, then it's usually through, if we're using Apache servers, then it's going to be HTA access file from that page to that page.
Yeah.
Like wherever we want to go. Like I'm not just going to take a 301 and just point it right to the homepage.
Yeah.
That would be crazy. But each of the pages that had power, I want to maximize. Remember I said you can stretch it if you point to different pages from different pages? That's what we'll do. We'll find the best ones that have the most majority of referring domains, and then I'll point the best one to the homepage. And then if I want to rank a location page, that's the next one. If I want to rank a particular service in a hard freaking city, that's the next one. See what I mean? Just to maximize. Usually you don't want to waste it and do a 301. Usually you want to build on the domain. But if there's just not enough, it's not worth it, or the niche just is like, I mean, I can't write for this, right? You're like, you talk to the writer and he's like, eh. And you're like, okay, I'm just going to 301 the pages then.
Gotcha.
And you can get, speaking on 301s, you know, people like, that's a myth, right? I may or may not have gotten away with 20 redirects pointing to a site without any penalties at all. Wow. So I think you can actually go more. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there, I think Matt Cutts, like when the dinosaurs were around, he said like they only follow 3 hops or 5 hops or something to do with the 301s. So I just went on a spree, like buying them and just 301ing them, just not even following my own protocol, just 301ing them. Nothing ever happened other than me moving up the rank.
Wow.
Yeah. You could get away with a lot. Yeah. That's a myth. Like, don't believe it. Like, oh, 1 or 2, like, maybe that's the best rule of thumb, but that's not what you could get away with. Mm. It's more than 20.
It's more than 20.
We're still going. It's more than 20, yeah. You can get away with more. It might be 21, I'm not sure, but we're definitely 20 for sure.
Oh, nice. if you're, say, only redirecting a handful of pages, for example, because mm-hmm. they're relevant, are you just leaving the rest of the domain up? You're just not worrying about the rest of the domain, or are you still doing things with it?
Yeah, so if we're 301 in those pages that were there previously, it's usually the homepage and the other pages. We're just 301ing those pages, and usually we'll build out, because there's a guy out there that he'll download from the Wayback Machine and give you all the pages. He charges $22. So that's usually, I guess I left out a step. He'll do that. We'll launch them all, but the link out is from those pages, and then these pages are usually going to link to these pages on my own site. So I just leave those there. Yeah.
Gotcha. So I've built some sites on an expired domain. Say there's pages on there, like say blog posts, that I don't want on the site anymore. They don't have any links coming to them. They have no SEO value, nothing. Do you just redirect those pages back to the homepage then? Or is there some other way that you need to essentially satisfy Google with those pages so you're not just having 404s if you delete them?
Right. So this is if I buy an expired domain. Yeah. Generally, those you can go inside of Search Console and say, hey, this page no longer exists. So if I am getting 404 errors, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to go in there and waste my time doing 301s unless there's any type of traffic or there's link equity there. Right. But usually, though, you would just submit the form like an Excel file, I guess. XLSX, I think it's called. So I would just submit one of those, and then these are the pages that I don't want inside. They no longer exist. Very simple.
That makes sense, because I've just gone and bloody redirected a bunch of pages just to the blog page, and that took how long? So I should have just done that.
Yeah, that's too much work. It's too much work because really I'm only after those three pages. You know, but if there's traffic, if it's only like two or three people, I don't care if they get served a 404. But if I'm getting 100 visitors, then I want a 301 that, you know, or 50 even. If it's just a couple and there's no link equity, I'm not going to go through, and that's not what I would do.
Can having multiple, it's too much work. Can having multiple 404 pages be something that hurts your site just in terms of essentially bloat of the site, having all these pages that index that essentially don't go anywhere? Is there something that can cause you harm?
I mean, I've had pages out there that just sit, but usually I'm going to take the step because it's such an easy process to say, hey, this page no longer exists. That's not hard to do, to get the list. You know, go into Screaming Frog, download the list, and then whoosh, upload it and say, hey, these pages don't list anymore. They're not. They don't exist. Don't worry about them.
Perfect.
It's not hard.
Awesome. I've run out of questions from my stuff now. You answered everything that I asked that I need to get. I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to cover regarding link building, content, affiliate marketing. Anything on your mind? Something about new live stream coming up?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, they're spur of the moment. I like to pop up and do it. But no, the only thing I guess if we're at the end is, I'm thinking about, you know, as far as the affiliate, I'm thinking about, cause I have these other groups that I do, right? I'm thinking about, I've been inspired by Craig, right? You said you watched Craig. I've been inspired. He did like an affiliate where he's like walking them through. So I'm thinking I'm going to do the same thing, but for like coupons or web hosting, probably web hosting and web hosting coupons, and then start like from the very beginning, like buying the expired domain and walking them through it. So that's the only thing I have coming up is I think I'm going to launch like another small group. Like, hey, I'll take you from beginning, you know, from day one to page one, I think is what I'm going to call it.
Yeah, that actually sounds really cool. And you're going for a rather competitive niche then to show.
Very competitive. Yeah, I think web hosting is... I think that's hard. You know, I've ranked number four before for HostGator coupons, but it was at the G site, so I cheated, you know. And I got outed by Cabin Fever. They told on me.
How do those coupon sites work? I see them everywhere and get random links from them every now and then. How do they make their money?
Yeah, so you get... Well, you never did any affiliate before?
Yeah, but I mean, are they your coupon codes then? But I see there's always a bunch of different coupon codes on those sites, so I don't know if they're all from that same, essentially from that same person, or if they're just scraped from the internet.
Yeah, how we did it, well, I guess there's some people that are probably doing that, but what we did is literally go one by one and sign up for the account, and then we're trying to promote each and every one of them. You know, that's what I'm going to do. If there's a better way, let me know, man. But I'm going to go to each one and try to sign up an account and set it up. You know, whoever has, I don't care about percentages or anything like that. As long as it's a reputable company, I'll put them on the page. And last time when I did like HostGator, I just went and bought a script off some guy in Black Hat World where it was like CSS and it would plug in. It looked like almost like a content locker. But it was all like HostGator, like here's 20% off, here's 5% off, here's 3% off. Oh, this one was used today, you know, like, and it would change. Pretty cool, man. Yeah, that's how I was doing that one. But yeah, something like that. That's what I want to do. What do you think? Does that sound cool? Like an immersive, done with me from beginning till end? That'll be cool,
like
right?
Following along and just seeing how, because you always pick something up, you know, being over the shoulder of someone doing it, because you'll find, oh, you know, he does this or he looks at this and this is what he considers. You know, you start to pick things up to, you know, do for yourself.
Absolutely. And then, too, I like the idea of having, because, too, it won't only be beginners. I actually prefer that it's not, because I mess up just like everyone else. You know, like, hey, Chris, maybe you should do this. Or maybe, hey, I have a content guy. You should go here. I like the group. It's been very helpful for me. Like, not only am I teaching, but I pick up, like, exactly what you're saying. You pick up stuff from these guys. Even if they're beginners, they see stuff. We all see the same thing through different eyes, right? So I love these different, like, hey, Chris, did you see this or did you know this? It's fun, man. I like it a lot.
No, that's awesome.
It's cool.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for coming on today, Chris. A little bit of a shorter podcast today, but we covered, in my opinion, I think we covered a shitload of stuff. So Hopefully we...
I'm quick.
Wow. Hopefully we're...
Right? I answer
helped out the
easy
listeners.
And fast.
No, perfect. Well, thank you very much for coming on. I appreciate it. And thanks for your time.
My pleasure. Yep. Great to be here. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Have a good one, man.
Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you're listening. Until the next episode, goodbye.